Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5.
Fantastic is that. I'm going to encourage you at this time to get a hold of your Bible and your bulletins as well. This is the moment we're going to get into the Word. I just want to tell you how enriching this summer has been for not only our city, but especially Hope Chapel. This has been some of the most amazing, life-transforming seasons here at our church. And we even have our teens going off to camp next week, but we just finished Vacation Bible School, and you're going to hear a wonderful video report on that. So grateful for what God has done. We continue to just see brown bags distributed. We're thrilled about that. Make sure you get some of that off and running and hand it out to those that would need a bag of hope. But it has been one of those most amazing summers, and here we are right here in the middle of August. So make sure you check out your bulletin and read those upcoming events. You show up to grow up. Isn't that how it is? And it does take a little responsibility to participate by saying, "I got to remember, don't forget these things that are happening with my faith family." And welcome, dear guests who are here this morning. Thrilled that you're here. We are actually right in our summer series, our summer sermon series, Entering the Kingdom. We're looking at the Beatitudes. You saw a little bit of a preview, and I'd invite you to take a look at the back of your bulletin. Today's is the fifth of the eight Beatitudes that we're going for, and as is our custom, let's pray before we even launch into it further, because we're going to be having communion shortly after the message, and we welcome all of you to have communion with us. And those of you who are watching live online, be prepared to have communion with us and grab those items that you know would be appropriate to have that time of communion with God as well. So, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit who's going to teach and lead and direct. And, Lord, we're so grateful for the Word of God. So, Lord, take it not just printed page and not some preacher, but, Lord, use your own voice to speak to our hearts and minds, transforming us. And Lord, let it be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Short little joke. I think it may be one. Just want to add that. About a man who's walking on the train tracks, got his leg stuck in the tracks. And just at that moment, as he couldn't pull his leg out, he hears the train whistle behind him. The train is coming. He panics. Now, he's not given to prayer, but he starts saying, "Lord, be merciful. Get my leg out. The train is getting closer." And the speed of the train now looks like it's coming quickly. He says, Lord, if you get my leg out, I promise I'll stop drinking. And nothing happened. His leg's still stuck. He's desperate. Lord, if you get my leg out, I not only will stop drinking, I'll stop swearing. And nothing happens. And all of a sudden, the train is about to come on him. His leg pops out. He rolls to safety. The train passes by. The man looks up into the sky and says, forget it, God, I got myself out. It's amazing how sometimes we call out for the mercy of the Lord, we kind of forget what he does. And today is all about mercy. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It is, once again, a reminder, the first four Beatitudes that we looked at, because they are characterized and categorized in two separate encampments. The first four, dealing with our relationship with God. Remember last time we were together? When we finally came down to it, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. The latter four are now dealing with our relationship with others. And we're looking at this particular one. I call it the startup of the law of direct return. And this one is on mercy or merciful. Today's message is entitled Merciful, the Boomerang Blessing. Another one, somebody called it the law of direct return. If you implement mercy, guess what? You're going to receive mercy. And so when we look here at Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, I don't know if there's anything on this planet that restores the soul and encourages the spirit of a person like acts of kindness done to them. If you have ever seen or maybe been the recipient of somebody doing a kind gesture to you, being able to help you in some way, affecting the person's life, nothing impacts it like somebody reaching out and expressing love or helping in some way. Man, aren't hearts melted? Aren't areas of people's lives restored? There's something about that when somebody demonstrates mercy and we step in and help somebody. I've never seen anything really make the big impact like just someone's little act of random kindness, unexpected. I remember when Ainsley's father passed away, Roger Millett. Great man, great man. He was a captain of the Coast Guard, and many of you remember him. You couldn't miss him. He would always come to church with a coat and tie. In Huntington Beach, come on. But very stately guy, wonderful man. We were 3 years into this pastorate when the Lord took him home suddenly. We do remember, though, it was at a very uncomfortable, challenging time for our family. Personally, it was right after Thanksgiving, going into the holidays. We were having family stream in and friends reaching out. We were overwhelmed, but what encouraged our hearts richly was this church. How you brought food and reached really across areas that we knew you were busy enough and helped us in so many wonderful ways, especially my wife Ainsley, who was handling hosting her own relatives, friends, and family, probably didn't even have time to mourn the loss of her father. But it was the care and compassion that wonderfully enriched us. I'm telling you, it's acts like that that have really given this church a boomerang blessing. We are so blessed, are we not? How we reach across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus. And it often starts by some form of act of mercy. So when we take a look at it, you'll be happiest in the happy times when doing something good and kind and compassionate. Brothers, so let's take a look here. We're going to start with the first point, the definition. I'm going to just say it this way, love in action. Mercy, by definition, is really just those moves with compassion, some practical act of kindness, some expression of love that helps somebody. But it is demonstrated love in action. I'd like to encourage you to find Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's go to the right. Go past Mark. Find Luke, chapter 10. Let's go to Luke, chapter 10. We're starting with verse 29. In Luke, chapter 10, the situation is that this young lawyer comes to Jesus, and he really wants to know what are the great commandments, and the Lord lays it out. And naturally, the second grade, love your neighbor as yourself. But verse 29, this young man wants to justify himself and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Look at verse 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And now the Lord's going to give a story, which is very familiar to all of us. It's called the story of the Good Samaritan. When you take a look at this, we're going to read it in just a moment, but I want to invite you to take a look at verse 36, where the Lord wraps it up, and he says, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Isn't it interesting? Mercy on him, showed acts of love. And when we take a look here, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Wow. Go and do likewise. Love in action. Let's take a look at verse 29 again. Let's proceed with the story that Jesus tells. But when he wanted to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, did nothing. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him in to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he had departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. When you take a look at this, for example, we're taking a look, that man that was beaten up, can you imagine probably laying on the road thinking, will anyone stop and care for me? And out of the swollen eyes he could see, he's thinking, here comes a Christian. Here comes a, those Christians, they'll stop. And this man goes on the other side and passes. Now, under his breath, pathetically, he's probably thinking, it figures. Isn't that what they do? They just go on by. The next person is an intern, a lay leader in some church, not a priest. And this person's probably late for their meeting, not prepared, running with a hurry. And you think, he'll stop, maybe he'll stop. And he does not stop. But eventually the Samaritan stops. Jesus says, this man was moved with compassion. Can you imagine the richness of the encouragement of this beaten up dude when he hears this Samaritan tell the innkeeper, listen, whatever else you spend on this person, I will pay you back because he has become a friend of mine. Man, there's nothing that lifts the spirit of a person like acts of mercy when they are bestowed upon another. Man. And Jesus asked him, who was being a neighbor to who? The one who bestowed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Acts of love. That's really, love in action is so important to describe a merciful action. So when we take a look here, we begin our study of mercy, really seeing what mercy is not. Because mercy is not saying, oh, I really feel bad for that person. Oh, that really tears my heart out to see what's happening in that nation. That is not mercy. Because love in action, that's what merciful elements that bring the boomerang blessing right around. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, actually teaches that when we see someone in need, only acknowledging the need, feeding feeling sorry for them, but doing nothing, it is no good. So it's important when we take a look at this beatitude, the merciful, love in action. Man, it's a good reminder for us to remind ourselves. See, when even God, who justifies the wicked, when he said, I invite you to come on up and be with me in heaven, I forgive you, it was not just, I feel bad for you, come on up, but love in action brought Jesus to the cross. Remember, John 3:16, he didn't say, only I so love you that whoever believes, he actually, God so loved you that he gave. There is a love in action, and it was Jesus. Jesus, who gave his life for you. So when we go ahead and take a look at the application, our second point, we're looking here at how do I apply this principle of mercy. When we take a look at our everyday life, I'm going to just submit here four ways to evaluate my life, to evaluate your life. Letter A, check it out with me. Merciful people are patient with the peculiar. When I say the peculiar, let's just frame it this way, the oddball, person that really is a weirdo. I know that sounds odd, but I know you are pretty perfect. But in comparing with others, it's like, wow, that person's so different. How merciful are we to the peculiar, the person that's different? Romans 15:7 says, accept one another in the Lord. So it's important when we check it out, the mercy we have to people that just look completely different, act different, maybe set in a different tempo, maybe mentally too. We like 1 Thessalonians 5:14, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So let's be patient with the peculiar. Watch those individuals that just don't really measure up to maybe you and me. Letter B, merciful people are forgiving of the fallen. People that blow it. Let me ask you this question. If somebody makes a mistake, do you rub it in? You remind them, that was something I'd never do. Those kinds of things, when we take a look at Colossians 3:13, be gentle, ready to forgive. Even somebody that just blows it, are we ready to forgive? Maybe they didn't even do anything to you. Are we merciful and ready to forgive even the fallen? Colossians 3:13 goes on, be gentle, ready to forgive, never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others, Living Bible says. When it comes to forgiveness, something that's unique I have discovered about forgiveness. One thing, when it comes to me receiving forgiveness, oh, it's so right. And it feels good. Doesn't it feel good? Yes. Yes. I love forgiveness. When it comes to me releasing forgiveness, it doesn't feel right. I know it's right to do. That's something that's unique. It doesn't feel right. It's hard because it doesn't feel right. You ready to forgive that person that's coming to you and saying, I'm sorry? That's what's so unique, because oftentimes I've experienced when I have been done wrong, man, I want judgment. I want to make sure the person understands the pain they've allowed me to experience for many, many weeks of sleepless nights. To let them away so quickly, that somehow adds to my pain. But a merciful person is ready to forgive the fallen. I like Matthew 18:15. I've utilized that in pastoral ministry when people have been injured by others, especially Christians. It says you go to that person that has sinned against you or offended you. You go help the fallen. Because see, a brother or a sister who hurt your feelings, they may not know they've done that, but what if they do? And in so doing, it's an indication they could be backsliding. Jesus said, like the 100th lost lambie, because that's Matthew 18:13-14, go after that lost lambie. How do you know they're lost? They're going to sting you. They're going to do something against you. They're going to rip you off. You go and help them out. The merciful person would. How quickly do we forgive the fallen? Let's go after them. Let's follow Jesus. I love that 70 times 7. How about you? It's a great reminder. I think we need to plaque that up somewhere, don't you? Maybe when we're driving on the 405. Okay, let's move on to number letter C. Merciful people are helpful to the hurting. Proverbs 3:27 says this, "Do not withhold good from those who are needing it when it is in your power to act." Remember, mercy is practical assistance. It's love in action. That's what we're talking about. Oh, I'm a merciful person, but it's love in action. So to that little attorney who wanted to justify himself, hey, who's my neighbor? Jesus says, it's not just enough to say, love them. Let me show you the action. Love in action. There's where it's at. 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17 and 18. Now suppose a person had enough to live on and noticed another in need. How can God's love be in the person if he does not help another brother? Dear children, we must show love through action, not through empty words. That's an amazing translation, and it really stabs me when I read something like that. To see a need that is exposed, the merciful person would be one that says, I'm going to help the hurting. Well, John Wesley had an amazing motto. I'm sure you may have come across it from time to time. John Wesley's motto was this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. He really kind of took that from Galatians 6:10, which says, while you have opportunity, do good to all. Especially that verse 10 says, to the household of faith. I mean, we could even just start there. Wouldn't it be great to help somebody in the household of faith? Do you have a faith family? I'm sure you do. Do you have a faith family? It's wonderful when I hear somebody say, man, I'm getting up today. I can't wait to get to church to see how God's going to use me today to bless somebody. Man, that's maturity. Now, I know that there are those among us that are young and still growing and need a lot of assistance. But isn't it great while you have opportunity? Do all the good you can. For everyone you can, as often as you can. So when we look here, how important it is. Happy are those who get involved. Friends, I'll tell you, a healthy, happy person, because Jesus says, happy or blessed is the merciful, they're going to receive mercy. A healthy person is somebody that is getting involved with somebody else. Check it out. Just try it. Just try helping somebody, and it's that act of love in action that restores them, and you're going to see them light up. But guess what, man? There's health that just comes around emotionally. Man, there's health that comes around physically. It's a beautiful experience. How about letter D? When we take a look at letter D, merciful people are good to those who hurt them. Now, that's a difficult one, but it's definitely in the scriptures, the hardest of all. If I'm merciful, I will do good to my enemies. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 for a moment. Would you find Luke chapter 6? We're right there, probably still in chapter 10. We're going to go to chapter 6. I like Luke chapter 6. I describe this as rules of the kingdom. Man, Pastor Noah Lonnie and Ed Jai have led us in some great Saturday night services. Their upside down kingdom, their messages each Saturday night, phenomenal. Great attendance, great food, great afterglow. I mean, the whole thing's great. We finished last night. So we are finding that Saturday night services are a big taker and have wonderfully enriched. But there's a gift of God's Spirit upon Ed and Noelani Jai. I know you agree with that. Man, and their volunteers did exceptional. We take a look at Luke chapter 6, rules of the kingdom. Take a look here, because isn't it interesting? Look at verse 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. Check out 35. Slip on down there. But love your enemies. Yikes. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God is unkind. He is kind to the unkind, the unthankful, and the evil. Check out the next verse. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. That is the kicker. Can you see that? Verse 36, God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4. And we're going to enjoy that and remind ourselves during this communion as well. How that God who says, you come, I've made a way, I'm rich in mercy, but He is kind even to people that don't even give Him any thanks, nothing in return from them, He's still going to provide. Even evil people, God is still kind. And the word to us, merciful people are good to those who hurt them as well. So mercy is action. Mercy is action. Not a reaction saying, as the world would say, hey, I get even to those who burn my bacon. But God says, love your enemies. I like Romans 12:17, it's listed on your notes, says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If at all possible, live peaceably. Then it talks about, don't worry, God will be your avenger. Don't you step into that arena. There's been probably six times I've held off knowing I could really fillet this person with what I know. But as a pastor, you keep a lot of things quarantined. I'll be going to heaven with a lot of secrets in my head. Glory to God. You should all say that. How about it? So you just say, Lord, you're going to have to just make it up and be my protector, and He comes through so wonderfully. And it comes so clearly in verse 21 of Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Probably the best way to destroy your enemy is be a friend. Make them your friend. So, how are we going to apply this beatitude as we take a look at that? Once again, we know we are to be patient with those who are peculiar, those odd people. Number two, forgiving of the fallen. Three, helpful to the hurting. And let's do good to those who hurt us. Man, that's mercy. It's a tall order. It's a tall order. So we've got to have some tall benefits that come back to us, which is really number three, the satisfaction. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. One of the things about just extending mercy is that God is merciful to me. I have relied on His mercy so often. I know I'm going to need mercy. I recognize this to be true, is that I will not maintain perfection until Christ takes me home. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to blow it. I'm going to need mercy. Therefore, the satisfaction that comes, I want to be one that extends mercy quickly. So when we look here at James chapter 2, verse 13, James 2:13 says this, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm going to need that mercy. Something about just helping people, nothing just restores the soul of the person like a love in action that expresses itself to that individual. I just lead you with this in Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man does good for his own soul. There's something about it's very healthy to step in there and not just feel sorry for people, but to let love be in action. Well, friends, this time we're going to enjoy communion. What a great, merciful God that we have. And as we take just a look at what Jesus has done for you, the great mercy. I invite you to have communion with us. Matter of fact, you who are watching online, be prepared even now. Grab that element, maybe a piece of bread or a juice of some sort. Have communion with us. I'm going to welcome those who are helping us serve communion this time. We're going to just serve you communion. Have those elements just be displayed. Hold on to them. If you've not had communion with us before, we invite you to have communion. All it takes is just to acknowledge that Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. And you'll find that the wafer is on the very top of the cup. I'll be back just to help you conclude with communion, but I invite you to have communion when you're ready. Remember, the wafer represents the body of Christ given for you. And the juice represents the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's worship the Lord in our seats and reflect on His great mercy. God, who's rich in mercy. God, who's rich in mercy. And the happiest people are the merciful. Let's receive that mercy right now.
Crucified to save.
let the Lord do a miracle right now. I'm reminded of Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's pause with the cups just for a moment so that we can focus just for a moment. We're going to gather them in a moment. But if you have a need, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that, because of Christ and the cross, we sang, "The resurrected King is resurrecting me." And let's remove any object that says you haven't performed well enough to receive a miracle. That's not mercy. That's not grace. That's your own salvation or works. Let's move that out of the way. God wants to do a miracle right now, right now. So Holy Spirit, reveal what you're going to do. It's on our heart. We've talked to you about it. As we come boldly, confident, because of a loving act called Christ's passion on the cross and resurrection. Lord, we welcome and invite that miracle right now, right in that area, right in that area, right in that area, right in our lives that affects us so desperately. Lord, even this week, can we be so bold to say, "Lord, start right now, this present hour." You've done so many other miracles for us. Each individually, we feel almost selfish to say there's one more. Lord, we come boldly because of Jesus, who's our victor. We say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for that? Let's do that. What an amazing Redeemer. Glory to God. Glory.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.